السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين
As we are aware, the 20th of February is known in the Jamaat, in the Ahmadiyya community, in connection with the prophecy of Muslih Ma'ud, the promised reformer. It is a glorious prophecy in which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was given the news of the birth of a great son who would possess numerous qualities. Among other things, it foretold that the promised reformer would live a long life and that the Ahmadiyya Jamaat would witness extraordinary progress during his era. The history of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community testifies that all aspects of this prophecy were fulfilled to the letter during the 52-year period of the Khilafat of Hazrat Mirza Bushiruddin Mahmud Ahmad al-Muslih al-Ma'ud, the promised reformer. For a fair-minded and spiritually perceptive person, this one prophecy alone is an immense evidence to support the truthfulness of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The 20th of February is approaching in 3 days' time. Today, I will present in this reference some extracts in the words of Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him himself. These shed light on how his person fulfilled this prophecy and how he was blessed with the Ruhul Haq, the Spirit of the Truth. In 1914, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, was bestowed with the mantle of Khilafat by Allah the Almighty. All the characteristics of being the Muslih Ma'ud, the promised reformer, were evident within his person. Even then, many members and scholars of the Ahmadiyya community believed he was the promised reformer. However, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, never announced this himself until the year 1944 arrived. In other words, 30 years of his Khilafat passed by. He then announced, based on a dream, that he was the Musleh Ma'ud, the promised reformer. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, further said that due to his nature, he felt a huge burden to make this announcement and to mention all the aspects of his dream. In fact, he said in some places that his disposition was such that he felt it very difficult to mention his dreams and revelations. However, sometimes circumstances compel one to reveal such details. In any case, even prior to this, scholars and members of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat would urge Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, to announce that he was the Musleh Ma'ud, the promised reformer. But he would respond to them by saying that there was no need to make an announcement. He said that if he was the promised reformer, and the prophecies were fulfilled in his person, then that is fine. But he did not see the need to make a claim. Responding to people on one occasion who urged him to make a proclamation, Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, said, "In the list of the past Mujaddideen, reformers, among the Muslims that was published after being seen by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, how many among them had made claims that they were reformers? I have heard directly from the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, that Orin Zerb appeared to be a Mujaddid, reformer, of his time. But did he ever announce this?" Umar bin Abdul Aziz is called a Mujaddid, reformer. But did he ever make a claim to being one? Thus, it is not necessary for a non-commissioned reformer to make a proclamation. According to the prophecies, only a commissioned reformer requires to proclaim it. For a non-commissioned reformer, we only need to look at the work he has accomplished. If we observe that his work is being done, then what is the need for an announcement? In this case, even if one constantly denies that he is a reformer, we would still attribute him to the prophecies. Even if Umar bin Abdul Aziz denied that he was a Mujaddid, a reformer, we would still call him one of his era. Because to be a Mujaddid, a reformer, one does not need to make a claim. Only the appointed Mujaddids or reformers need to proclaim that they are reformers. If a non-commissioned individual during his lifetime helps to revive Islam and defend from attacks by opponents, we would call him a Mujaddid, a reformer, regardless of whether he is aware of being one or not. Only one who announces his claim can be an appointed or commissioned Mujaddid or reformer, as was the case with the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. So Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud continues, "Thus I do not need to claim to be the promised reformer, nor do you need to be perturbed by opponents who say things. There is nothing slanderous about this, because true honor is given by God the Almighty, even if the whole world considers you disgraced. If one follows the way of God the Almighty, he will certainly be seen as honorable in his court. And one who resorts to falsehood and deception in establishing his claim, he may prevail over people in the world, but he will never gain respect in the court of God the Almighty. One who on the surface is given huge respect, but has no honor in the court of God the Almighty, has in reality gained nothing at all, and ultimately will only suffer humiliation. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, continues, "Thus always be truthful in both secular and spiritual matters. One who suffers in the way of God the Almighty is the one who really benefits. Thus, a fundamental point has been outlined by Hazrat Muslim, and may Allah be pleased with him here. The truthfulness of one who is deemed to be true by God the Almighty is eventually manifested by God the Almighty's own practical testimony. It is not necessary that an announcement has to be made for this purpose. Of course, if Allah the Almighty decides that an announcement is required, then an announcement is made. In short, the way to judge if one is carrying out the work of the religion according to the will of God the Almighty, or if that person is from God, then it is to assess the support and succor he receives from God. Nonetheless, as I mentioned, when Allah the Almighty instructed Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, that he should make an announcement, he then made the proclamation. And he said, "Now Allah the Almighty has made it clear to me, and thus I announce that I am the one who fulfills the prophecy of Muslih Ma'ud, the promised reformer." Where on the one hand, members of the Jamaat, the Ahmadiyya community, were joyous after this announcement was made, there on the other hand, the Ghair Mubayin, those who refused to take the bet of the Khalifa, began opposing. On the 27th of the 1945 Jalsa Salana, or annual convention, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, addressed this, and in particular, the statement of Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib. And Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud said, "Since I announce that I am the Muslih Ma'ud, the promised reformer, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib needlessly started his opposition to it, in similar vein to Maulvi Sunaullah Sahib in the past. Whilst I relate dreams and revelations and make an announcement based on God's declaration, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib fails to present any dreams or revelations to the contrary, and nor can he. He only lays all his stress on presenting just one revelation from 30 years ago, and that too was proved to be incorrect, based on context. Thus, when there is no revelation, then how can he present it as a response? All he has left with now is to merely oppose me. If he does not raise objections, then how can he contest? The opponents of Abraham, Moses, and Jesus, peace be upon them, could not deny the existence of revelation, because they believe the past prophets were given revelation. Hence, they could not deny the fact that these prophets had received revelation. In order to prove their own statement as true and to challenge the prophets, they would say that their revelations have been conjured up by themselves and are self-concocted. Similarly, the enemies of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, would also level this allegation, that he invented all his revelations. If this statement of the Christians and the Jews was correct, and the revelations bestowed to the Holy Prophet ﷺ were fabricated by himself, God forbid, then the honor of God the Almighty warrants that they should have been bestowed revelation to counteract the Holy Prophet ﷺ, thereby exposing him to be a liar and for the matter to become evident. However, the very fact that they were deprived of any sort of revelation is testimony to the fact that the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, was truthful, and his opponents, namely the Jews and the Christians, were false. In a similar manner today, Maulvi Muhammad Ali Sahib asserts that the revelations bestowed to me are false. Then why does God Almighty not grant him true revelation, as opposed to me? So that it is clear for the world to see that Maulvi Sahib is speaking the truth whilst my statements are false. It is astonishing that an individual spends day and night in order to lead the creation of God astray, and expends all his days and nights deceiving and betraying the people. Yet still the honor of God the Almighty is not stirred. If the honor of God is not incited, then the reason for this is none other than the fact that surely God Almighty is well aware that Maulvi Sahib is far removed from his nearness. That is why God the Almighty did not bestow upon him any revelation. Thus, from the very outset, disbelief has always opposed the truth. This method has been implemented from the very beginning and will continue to do so. That is the fact that the enemies are always opposed to the truth. Hazur says that thus those people who object to the truth always level allegations, but they never present anything on the contrary to oppose it, and nor can they ever call upon God as their witness by saying, "We call upon God as our witness that our revelations, dreams, and visions are true." Because if they did say this, they are fully aware that they will be chastised by God the Almighty as a result. I shall now present some revelations and visions of Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, which he mentioned at the time when he made the announcement that he was the Musleh Ma'ud, the promised reformer. Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, "This first indication that points towards the station of the promised reformer is a revelation to me which I was bestowed during the lifetime of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. When I informed the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, about this, he wrote it down in the journal that he kept for his own revelations. I have recalled this revelation on several occasions." Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud is explaining this to the gathering. And he says, "Initially I thought that it was only related to the Khilafat, but now my mind is drawn to the fact that it contained an indication to the station that God Almighty was soon to bestow upon me. That revelation is as follows: إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Verily, God Almighty shall make thy followers victorious over those who have rejected thee until the Day of Judgment." Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud states, "This revelation contains a very subtle indication which points towards a prophecy which was to be fulfilled in a specific order. And that revelation is the one vouchsafed to the Messiah of Nazareth, that is, Jesus, peace be upon him, which is also mentioned in the Holy Quran. However, the words used in the Holy Quran are, وَجَائِلُ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, and will place those who follow thee above those who disbelieve until the Day of Resurrection. But the words here are, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. The reason for this is that the Messiah of Nazareth, Jesus peace be upon him, claimed to be the last prophet in the Mosaic dispensation. In relation to claims of this nature, it is essential for people to initially oppose such a claim. Then, after a significant period of time has elapsed, people begin to accept that prophet. However, since God Almighty desired to make the individual who was to become the manifestation of the prophecy of Musleh Ma'ud, the promised reformer, first as a Khalifa, and a Khalifa inherits an established community instantly, therefore the clause, جَائِلُ الَّذِينَ, and will place those who follow thee, was not necessary here. Whenever a prophet would present his claim before the people, just as Jesus, peace be upon him, did in his time, they would immediately declare him to be false. Should there be an individual of the caliber of Hazrat Abu Bakr, may Allah be pleased with him, who accepts the claim, then that is a different matter altogether. Otherwise, it is normal practice that when a prophet announces his claim, the entire world brandishes him to be a liar. Initially, only three people accepted the claim of the Holy Prophet, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him. However, from the very outset, a Khalifa is accepted by an entire community or Jamaat. Thus, by stating, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ تَبَعُوكَ فَوْقَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ, God Almighty indicated that He will soon bestow upon him, that is, Hazrat Musleh Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, an established community. Then God Almighty would strengthen the relationship between him and his community. to the extent that one day the community would be attributed to him in his capacity as a subordinate. There would be some people who would oppose him, but God Almighty will grant those who have pledged allegiance to him to prevail over those who reject him until the day of judgment. This dominance would begin as soon as he would take the station of the Imam, and the clause وَجَائِلُ الَّذِينَ would not be needed, that and will place those who follow thee. Because there would be no need to wait for people to accept the message, nor would there be any need to wait for people to begin their opposition, or to hurl edicts, as well as mock him and strive to humiliate him, or for the people to travel the breadth of one side of the earth to the other in order to gather a storm of opposition against him. On the contrary, God Almighty would ensure that the majority of the community established by the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, is bestowed to him, that is, to Hadrat Muslih Maud, may Allah be pleased with him. The day the community is bestowed to him will signal the commencement of the victory over the opposition. Hazrat Muslih Maud continues by saying, "Behold, the very same was fulfilled. The community of the Messiah of Nazareth, Jesus peace be upon him, was granted victory after 300 years. However, as soon as God Almighty appointed me as the Khalifa, within a matter of just a few weeks, those people who rose up against me and rejected my appointment to this institution, that is the Peghamis, those who refused to pledge allegiance at the hands of the second Khalifa, God Almighty granted me and my followers supremacy over them. As each day passes by, through the grace of Allah the Almighty, this ascendancy continues to grow. Today, the Peghamis, those who refuse to pledge allegiance at the hands of the second Khalifa, assert that everything was based upon a single dream of his. That vision upon which Hadrat Khalifa Masih II made the announcement that he was the promised reformer, and that he relied upon this to make his claim of being the promised reformer. However, Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud states, this was not a dream because it contains words. The aforementioned revelation was indeed a revelation, and that was revealed somewhat 40 years ago. God Almighty informed me that I would become the Imam of a community, out of which some would oppose me, but the majority would join me. As for those who remain attached to Khilafat, God Almighty would grant them ascendancy over the others until the Day of Judgment. Where it has been stated that God Almighty will grant thy followers dominance over those who reject thee, it serves as an indication that one day, God Almighty will grant me the title of prophethood insofar as a mere shadow or reflection of the prophethood of Jesus and the promised Messiah. The reason for this is that the community of a Khalifa is associated with him only in his lifetime. After his demise, it is only associated with the prophet or those who are reflections of them. Similarly, the word kafaru, they disbelieve, indicates that after Khilafat, I would receive another status which would be akin to the spiritual manifestation of certain other prophets. Subhanallah la yus'alu amma yafalu. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, the second sign was a kashf, or vision, which I experienced during the lifetime of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. And that also alludes to the status of a promised reformer. I saw in the vision that I came out of the room which the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, used to reside in. And I came out into the courtyard where the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was also present. At that moment, a person came and handed me a parcel and said, "Some of it is for you, and some of it is for the promised Messiah, peace be upon him." While still in a state of akash for vision, I looked at the name on the parcel, and it had two names written on it, Muhyiddin and Mu'inuddin. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud states, in the state of akash for vision, it was made to appear to me that one of the names was the promised Messiah's, and the other name was mine. Since at the time I was only a child, and had not previously heard of Hazrat Muhyiddin ibn Arabi's name, and only knew of Aurangzeb, whose name was also Muhyiddin. Therefore I assumed that I was Muhyiddin. And since Hazrat Muinuddin Chishti was a well-known saint that had lived in India, I therefore assumed that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was being referred to as Muinuddin. However, later I came to know that Hazrat Muhyiddin ibn Arabi was a very renowned saint, and therefore I believe that since the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, came for the revival of Islam, therefore he is Muhyiddin, and I am Muinuddin, who came to assist and help the cause of Islam, The similitude of this is just like a mother who gives birth to a child and the nurse then feeds it with milk. Then, speaking about the third sign, Hazrat Muslihima Uhud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, I received the third revelation in a similar manner, but received it after the demise of the promised Messiah, peace be upon him. The revelation was, O progeny of Dawood, adhere to the commandments of Allah the Almighty while remaining grateful to him. By saying Imalu, adhere, Allah the Almighty commanded me in this revelation to completely act according to His divine will. And by saying progeny of Dawood, Allah the Almighty likened me to Hadrat Sulaiman. Hadrat Sulaiman became the Khalifa or successor after Hadrat Dawood and was also his son. Hazrat Muslim Maud further states, I remember that this revelation was revealed to me with such intensity that for a long period of time I continued to remain in the same state in which I received this revelation. This revelation was so clear that even though the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, had passed away, when I related this revelation to some of my friends during a walk, I completely forgot for a moment about his demise and I felt a sudden impulse to run to the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, and inform him of this revelation. Hazrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, then states, the fourth sign which testifies the dream Allah the Almighty showed me, in which I was the Muslih Ma'ud, the promised reformer, is a kashf or vision. I saw that I am sat praying in the promised Messiah's Baitul Dua. When suddenly it was made apparent to me that the promised Messiah, peace be upon him, was Ibrahim or Abraham. It was also revealed to me that many Abrahams have appeared in this Ummah, this Muslim community of followers of the Holy Prophet. Regarding Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First, I was told that he was also Ibrahim or Abraham, and I was told his name is Ibrahim Adam. Adam was a king who abandoned his sovereignty and took up tasawwuf or mysticism or Sufism. Thus I was told that Hadrat Khalifatul Masih the First was Ibrahim, and that I was also Ibrahim. Relating the fifth sign, Hadrat Muslih Ma'ud, may Allah be pleased with him, states, the fifth sign which was revealed to me by Allah the Almighty was close to the time of the promised Messiah's demise. I saw in a dream that a bell was rung, and the sound produced from it was as if a brass cup was knocked against something. However, the sound that reverberated from this bell was so melodious and beautiful that it was as if the delightful sounds of all the world's music were filled inside this sound. The sound became louder and louder until it transformed into the form of a frame. The sound spread into the atmosphere and then transformed into a frame, just like a photo frame. I then saw that an image of an extremely beautiful and handsome person appeared inside this frame. The picture then began to move, and after a short while, someone sprung out of the frame and stood before me and appeared to me as if it were an angel of God. The angel said, come, I shall give you a lecture or discourse on Surah Al-Fatiha. Thus he began to give me a lecture on Surah Al-Fatiha and continued to do so. But when he reached the verse of إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ, thee alone do we worship and thee alone do we implore for help, he said, until now, all the commentators of the Holy Quran have only written their commentary up to the words يَوْمِ الدِّينِ, the Day of Judgment. However, I shall teach you the commentary beyond that. Thus he taught me the complete commentary of Surah Al-Fatiha. When I woke up, I could still recall some of what I had been taught in my dream by the angel, but I did not note it down, and later I forgot that too. In the morning, when I related this dream to Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I, and also told him that when I awoke from the dream, I was able to recall some of what I had been taught by the angel, but by the morning I had completely forgotten what I had been taught. Hearing this, Hadrat Khalifatul Masih I said in an upset tone, that I had let so much knowledge go to waste, and that I should have noted it down. Hazrat Musleh Maud states, however, since that day, Allah the Almighty has continued to teach me new and fresh ideas. From Surah Al-Fatiha. In fact, since that dream, even now when I was reflecting on how to devise a program to help in the reformation of the Ahmadiyya Jamaat and establish the superiority of the Islamic system, Allah the Almighty taught me a very sound and comprehensive program from Surah Al-Fatiha, which if followed could enable Islam to attain such success that upon witnessing it, the opponents will be left astounded and will be compelled to accept the superiority of Islamic customs and practices. Also, the errors committed by the Muslims after the Holy Prophet ﷺ while trying to understand the Islamic system and its various injunctions relating to its customs and practices can also be rectified by the grace of Allah through these programs. Those errors that were committed by the Muslims after the time of the Holy Prophet. All of this was taught to me through Surah Al-Fatiha by Allah the Almighty, and the true meaning of this dream was that Allah the Almighty had filled my intrinsic faculties with a comprehension of the Holy Quran generally, and particularly the knowledge of Surah Al-Fatiha, which in view of the need of the time will be internally revealed to me every so often. Hazrat Musleh Maud states, at the time when the internal discord developed in the Ahmadiyya Jamaat, Allah the Almighty revealed to me, La numazzikannahum, surely we will shatter them into pieces. At the time, those who had left the Ahmadiyya community used to claim that they made up 95% of the community. But what is their state today? According to this prophecy, Allah the Almighty in reality shattered them into pieces. Thus, prior to his demise, Khwaja Kamaluddin Sahib wrote, the revelation which Mirza Mahmud, that is Hazrat Musleh Maud, published regarding us has been certainly fulfilled to its letter, and in reality we have been shattered into pieces. Hazrat Musleh Maud states, in short, Allah the Almighty has revealed the knowledge of the unseen on countless occasions, and thus proving the prophecy which stated that the promised reformer, the Musleh Maud, will be granted the Ruhe Haq, the spirit of truth, from Allah the Almighty. These are the signs of Allah the Almighty which He manifested through me. Zur says, this is what Hazrat Musleh Maud stated. In any case, the details of the actual prophecy are quite lengthy. And in the coming days, many jalsas or events or gatherings will be held to commemorate the fulfillment of this prophecy, and also various programs will be broadcast on MTA in relation to this. Members of the Ahmadiyya community should make the utmost effort to attend and listen to these programs in order to develop a deeper understanding of this prophecy. There are countless signs mentioned in this prophecy, and Hazrat Musleh Maud has at times identified 50, 55 and even 60 qualities and signs which have been mentioned in this prophecy. And all of these have been fulfilled in the person of Hazrat Musleh Maud with great splendor.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله